teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The Bible warns us all over the place about the problem of apostasy. We have been studying on Abounding Grace Radio the book of Jude that helps us to understand this phenomenon and to understand what it means to contend earnestly for the faith. This is one of the few things that Christians do today well, and the Lord is calling us to contend, to fight for our faith, to lay hold of it, to believe it, to defend it. And Jude is showing us why we need to do this. Last time on Abounding Grace, we looked at three apostate movements in history. Today, we're looking at three apostates, real people in history, that we might know how to identify false teachers. That is so important. So I hope you'll listen to this today with an open mind, realizing that this is the Lord's way of fighting off wolves to protect you, if you're a Christian, and your families, so that you would continue in His truth and be shepherded in His loving care. This is the Lord keeping wolves out of the sheep pen. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Please do keep in mind, we are airing in Africa, the U.S., and Canada with new opportunities and major population bases, and your support helps to continue to do that. You can do that right online at agradio.org. Our goal at Abounding Grace is to make known salvation, Jesus, gospel, and that people would again come to a good knowledge of God's word. So these are our goals, and we hope that you'll share with us in the project. Here is now the program from Jude, the little book of Jude, How to Discern False Teachers. This is part one. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Well, I want to make sure tonight, as we begin our study in the little book of Jude and continue our study in the little book of Jude, that we understand what apostasy is. Apostasy is knowing the truth, accepting the truth intellectually, maybe even saying that people believe the truth, and then at some point defecting and walking away from the truth. If you don't appreciate that, if you don't understand that, it will be confusing for you when we see these things happen. We have seen major shifts and major departures of major figures in our day in the evangelical church who have apostatized. And tonight, what we have is that we are now zeroing in on the leaders that cause this apostasy. The leaders and the false teachers and the apostates, if you will, who lead people into it. This is what Jude is doing for you. Jude is helping you. Let me pull down their masks for a moment and help you through this. And as I said before, this is one of the most useful sections in the New Testament, for it has the great goal of keeping you and preserving you in the truth. The churches that care most about this, even though they're hard subjects, are the churches that will be protected. But those people who shrug this stuff off and say, oh, this is the stuff we don't want to hear about because we don't like it, are the ones that are prime targets and prey for apostates. And now tonight he gives us three descriptions of apostates and how they influence those who walked in their path. That's what this is tonight. We begin tonight then at verse 11, where he pronounces a woe in the long line of prophetic woes that the Old Testament prophets would give. Jude now gives the same woe to false teachers and false prophets and apostates in the New Testament. Woe to them. Here's what they've done. Here's what they look like. Here's how you can see them. And we come to the first one. They have walked in the way
of Cain. It's always interesting to think about who he chose, why he chose, how he chose. You have a lot of figures you could have selected. And he begins right in early part of Genesis with Cain. I want you to notice the path there. There's a path. Jude is so carefully constructed. Nobody would do this if it weren't inspired by the Spirit. It's really powerful. Notice how it's constructed. They have walked in the way of Cain. They have abandoned or run after the sake of gain to Balaam's heir. So they've gone after. They've run into error. And then they perish in rebellion. So they walked, they jumped into it, and then they perished. There's a progression in the path that Jude is showing you there, which I think you can see then even in the way he's using and selecting the apostates to show their end. For by the time we get to Korah, the ground will open up and swallow them up. Remember that story? Jesus, of course, the good shepherd, the true teacher of Israel, is called the way, the truth, and the life. Notice the connection there. If Cain is of the way, Jesus, they ran in the way of Cain, Christians go in the way of Jesus. He is the truth. These go into Balaam's error. Jesus is the life. These perish in Korah's rebellion. You see the connection there? Jesus is the true teacher. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. These apostates embody everything that's contrary to Jesus. Well, let's start with Cain here, and we learn a little bit about the way of Cain. He starts with the way of Cain. Remember the story in Genesis 4? It's a story we probably studied numerous times in this church. Remember that Cain had brought an offering of fruit of the ground, and Abel had brought the firstborn of the flock, and the Lord had respected Abel's offering, and he did not respect Cain's offering. And the highlight there that keeps being emphasized in Genesis chapter 4 is the anger of Cain. The anger of Cain. And Cain was very angry. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you furious? Why are you angry? And why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door." What is the way of Cain? It's interesting how the New Testament constantly speaks of the way of Cain in a certain way. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. There's so much you can learn from that. What Jude is saying by way of identification is, and what he is having us consider, is the character of Cain. The New Testament is talking about the character of Cain. What kind of person was he? He hated his neighbor. He was full of anger. He was an angry servant. Love was absent. Love did not motivate him. At the heart of all of his activity was a hatred for righteous Abel. Notice here then that when we begin to put this together, that the way of apostates is that they are angered by righteousness. Those who love the truth and maintain the truth and keep the truth and honor the will of God and love his commandments are the very things that apostates hate the most. Look at the Pharisees. Why were they so furious at Jesus? So much so that Jesus would say, remember what he said to them, "They're of their father, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning." Same thing. What is the attitude today among teachers who look at those who keep the commandments of God? Think about it. It's a hatred fueled by false teachers against those who have conviction for the truth. This is what drove Cain nuts about Abel. everything that was morally right and even his entire joyful self in understanding the gospel, Cain could not stand righteousness. Cain hated Abel. It's Ecclesiastes 7 that anger resides in the bosom of fools. But it's more than this. It's not just anger. Remember what Jesus said? Truly, truly, I am the door of the sheep. All who came in before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that they may have life. I think that's such an exposure of false teachers by Jesus himself, of the ultimate fruit of their ministries. What is it? They kill. They kill. What, you mean with hands? No. With their ministries. The false teacher never brings life. The false teacher is full of anger. The false teacher is after and has the product of killing the sheep. That is the characteristic of a false teacher. I want us to keep that in mind because you'll see the progression here as we go. It gets more interesting as we go. And now consider these two others that Jude now raises. You'll see the whole story here in a moment. Notice what he says. Woe to them. They've gone in the way of Cain. They have run, or they have abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's heir. Notice that there. I don't know how many of you have taken time to study that story in Numbers. It's not the easiest story to follow. But when you follow it, you see what exactly the New Testament writers are reacting to with Balaam's heir. A superficial reading of that story would seem to show that Balaam obeyed God. I've always read it as a child and thought he didn't seem to do anything that bad. And the New Testament characterizes him as this terrible figure. But I struggle with it a little bit because he seems so respectful to the Lord. If you don't have to turn there, but listen to how the story went, and I think you'll see it from Numbers 22. What we find is that Balak, the king of Moab, sent messengers to this false prophet Balaam to curse Israel. He wanted Balaam to curse Israel, bring down God's wrath on Israel. Israel's about to enter the promised land. The inhabitants of Canaan are terrified. And so this king comes and he says, curse them for they're too mighty for me. God spoke to Balaam. Remember what was said? You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. And so when Balak came calling to Balaam, what was his answer? Here's Balaam's answer. Though Balak were to give me a house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Oh, that sounds pretty noble, doesn't it? That sounds really noble. Nobody would ever say anything was wrong with that answer. Balaam verbally called the Lord his God. Balaam verbally spoke of the importance of honoring his commandments. He said, I can't curse Israel. God, whatever he says, I speak. Balaam has a plan. You study this, you see something else at work. He sought to get God to curse Israel himself. How so? It worked. It worked. Balaam and Balak plotted a way to lead Israel into apostasy. So Balaam conspired with Balak, and they got together the beautiful women of Moab. And we read in chapter 25 of Numbers that these women caused the children of Israel to sacrifice to their gods and get involved in gross sexual immorality with them. What happened? God judged them. God cursed them. 24,000 people died of the plague, while Balaam receives a huge payoff. Oh, there we go. His plan worked. Because of this man's apostasy, even though he paid lip service to the truth of God's word, thousands died. So what was the error of Balaam? False prophets run greedily in the same way. How do you see them? How do you know? They are crafty with God's word. What do I mean? There are all sorts of teachers that have entered the church that love to play with the word. They use the word of God. They sound good. They have great voices. They may say, oh, we love the commandments of the Lord. We're going to speak what the Lord says. But they don't care a thing about that word. Listen to what Paul said to the church in Corinth. I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you accept it. You put up with it readily, he says. Wow. Paul will go on in that chapter to say that these false teachers and false pastors come in distinguishing themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan does the same thing, he says. He comes as an angel of light, and it's no surprise if his servants who disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. What are they doing? How do you see it? What is the answer? Well, Paul said they're twisting the message, and they're bringing in different Jesuses. Their messages that they're using, as they use the word of God, they're using it craftily for one aim. If you get this, I really think you can be discerning, and I want the greatest discernment in this place. What is the aim of the false teacher? One thing, in light of Balaam, his own gain. His own gain. They use the word of God in the life of the congregation to get people under their control, so that through their agendas, they will achieve their own prosperity, their own power, their own name as the people come and bow before them. Listen to Paul again in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We are not, now listen to the boldness of Paul here, for we are not like so many peddlers of God's word. What does that mean? This is Balaam. But as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So there's a major difference going on in speech in Christianity. He says this, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. Think Balaam. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. We are openly proclaiming the truth and commend it to your consciences. You know what we're doing. You know the truth. But then there are those who are not. And I think people know it. Paul was willing to suffer and die for what? Making known Jesus. Making known the gospel. I am amazed at how many who've been raised in the church, trained in the church, claim to be reformed, sit under ministries, all with a pastor with a good voice, who constantly does nothing but needle the people with his own agendas. Constantly prodding them not to receive grace, not to receive forgiveness, not to know Jesus, but prodding them all with earthly agendas to control them. Listen to it. It's happening all the time. This is all over the place today. Needling the people with their own agendas for payoff. This is the era of Balaam. The New Testament warns about this all over the place. So the first, you're seeing the character, the kind of person they are. The second is that you see them craftily using the word of God with the goal of their own gain and leading people away from who? Well, that's the final progression here. They care nothing for God's people. The third is open rebellion. Notice he says, third, they perished in the rebellion of Korah. Remember that? He was a famous man in Jewish history. Korah was the one they talked about. In Exodus 6, we learn that Korah was the first cousin of Moses and Aaron. Talk about Jude using Korah. They've crept in among us. It's Paul saying they are among us. This is Korah. He was of the tribe of Levi. He was a priest. Who would have ever thought? You have an apostate Levite priest in Israel. Remember what happened? Jude uses a fascinating word here. I couldn't get the word out of my head this week in the Greek. He said that they, you'll notice here, perished in Korah's rebellion. The word is anti-logia, anti-word. Fascinating. They perished in the anti-word. What is that? In Number 16, Korah takes Dathan and Abiram, and we read that 250 leaders of the congregation, they gathered and they stood against Moses and Aaron, and they said, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" And Moses, hearing this, fell on his face and answered the challenge by allowing the Lord to choose the one who is the leader and who is holy. What do you hear in that? We're all holy. We're all set apart to be priests. Their attack on Moses was an attack on the right that God had to choose his leader and deliverer for the people of Israel. It was an attack on the mediator. We're holy. We don't need a mediator. We don't need Moses. Think of Korah. Look at their apostasy. What are they doing? What are they doing? Just like with Moses, they are dragging people away from Jesus. False teachers lead rebellions against the Savior. Their ministries are not leading people to him. Jesus said this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They want to devour you." You'll know them by what? Their fruits. Anger, bad character, hatred of brother, after their own gain and greed, and leading people away from Jesus with an anti-word. This is what Jude is calling us to discern the truth, to love the truth, to know the truth, and not just accept false teachers, which is what we do, and to realize they're in our communities. They're in our institutions. They're in our schools. We can't be this ignorant. But you see, this is the great care. This is his way, Jesus' way of shepherding the flock. This is his way of fighting off wolves. What good shepherd, if he sees a wolf coming, doesn't do anything about it? He's not a good shepherd if he doesn't. This is what Jesus is doing for you. And so he wants you to be a part of it. This is our responsibility together, to contend earnestly for the faith. Jesus came, Jesus lived, Jesus died to save, and has brought the best message and news in the world in that deposit of truth to you and your children. You should be furious if someone wants to take that from your children. You should be standing up a lot more, and I should too. That's how much he loves you and your children. So when you see it in that light, it's kind of motivating in love to contend, isn't it? It's motivating to care and contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Be discerning. Be discerning. Love the truth. Contend for it. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.